from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show, hot on the heels of health supplements and young Earth creationism programs.
Especially young Earth creationism programs.
Oh, they are wonderful. Here at KFNX, it's only the truth.
Day night.
What is Fox News? It's true or something and fair and balanced?
Fair and balanced. And
I think
they repeat it so often that it's like... You just like it's like they're saying, "Yeah, we're lying all the time." That's how frequently they repeat that statement. That they might as well just be saying that.
I gotta say, the Daily Show last night was regarding Kramer on Fox. If anybody saw last night's episode,
Jim Cramer.
Oh, the way they made fun of Jim Cramer on Daily Show last night was hilarious.
I'll have to check it out.
So go watch the March 9th episode if you know.
All right.
Your TiVo or your Sage TV or your Myth TV or whatever it is you've got.
So it's Daylight Savings Chatterbox where we talk about politics.
Yeah. No, dude, I can't get over it. It was so good. And the shows that I hear while waiting for our show to begin in this station are truly amazing. Really.
Yeah. And truly models for us to aspire to.
And just like our show does not represent the ideals of the radio station, neither do those programs. So keep that in mind when you listen to KFNX. They are not biased.
So how is that Sage TV?
Sage TV, man. Installed it on my PC. It's got problems. It is not perfect.
Sage TV?
Yeah.
What is this, like 4chan breaking into hardware or what?
No, it's a Windows... No. But it's just a Windows TiVo software.
I wonder, has 4chan ever broken the radio barrier?
Probably.
They've probably broken radios. But...
Well, this is true.
All right. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't discuss my Sage TV experience.
You're not supposed to talk about 4chan.
No, but we want to talk about video games. Because that's
I'm
going to
be visited by 5 people in masks tonight.
People are going to find you.
All right. So we talk about video games here. We're on not daylight savings time or savings time.
I don't know. See, we can never tell here in Arizona.
You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever. The time slot changed.
The
so if you're listening
thing
live,
is that we're
thanks.
Synced up with the Pacific time now.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know why that's important, but it's true. So last week I wrote an article for Golgatron, our still in beta sister site, which luckily nobody reads right now because it's underdeveloped.
Yeah.
It just needs to take a little time, you know.
But it's a place for me to put my thoughts, at least. And if you want to go read it, cool. Just go to Golgatron.com. But you don't have to. We'll just end up talking about it on the radio. And then eventually one day it might be a real website and then I'll tell you about it. Love that fave icon now. Anyway, GameStop. I think this happened Wednesday of last week. It was right after we did last week's show, right? So we didn't get to talk about it last week. Amazon, this relates to GameStop. Amazon announced that they're going to take in used games, right? Toys R Us is also doing this, right?
Toys R Us and Amazon.
Yeah, but
they wanted to get into GameStop's thing.
I didn't think Toys R Us was around like games. Didn't they like quit games?
Well, no, they quit everything.
Oh, like, that's right.
They went bankrupt or something.
That's right.
But. It's still around somehow in some places. So anyway, Amazon, though, is as thriving as it always has been. I don't know if it's making money this year or not, but I assume it is. And it's a very big and very good company, in my opinion. And they decided that they were going to take in used games. So I don't care so much about Toys R Us.
Amazon, the company where in... okay, never mind. Go ahead.
The irony, by the way, is that Toys R Us used to be the sole distributor of video games on Amazon. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Like, if you went to Amazon Video Games, it was sold through Toys R Us.
A faint memory.
So,
when I was a wee lad.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, Amazon's going to take in used games. And this is announced. And, of course, Dan DiMatteo, or DiMatteo, from GameStop.
He must be the CEO.
He is the CEO. He apparently made some very interesting quotes to someone. I think it was Edge Magazine or something, Edge Online Magazine. So, I wrote about this on the website and my feelings on it. So let me give you the quotes. These are all hashed together in a single paragraph. I don't know if they were all said at once. But he said, "I give the probability of this working," referencing Amazon's used game venture, "at zero," He's saying there's no chance it's going to work. Electronics Boutique, which, by the way, was purchased by GameStop right before their
rose
several years ago.
They merged.
GameStop bought Electronics Boutique.
This just shows you the eccentric genius of the large corporation CEO. See, yeah. It's such a smart thing that you could never fathom why he'd want to do it.
Electronics Boutique was one of the last companies in the U.S. that GameStop.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, it was essentially the same thing as GameStop.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much the last one they swallowed in the U.S. They took on Software Etc., Babbage's,
I remember.
Funko Land, which was big boon for them. Nobody gave a second thought to Funko Land, and then GameStop made it matter.
We did when we were kids, but only when we reversed the N and the C to pronounce something very different.
Okay, good. So eventually they finally got EB to break, and they took over EB Games, and that was the biggest one that they had taken over, although I still think Funko Land is probably the most important, because with that came GameFan, which nobody cared about. It wasn't even on the balance sheet when they took over Funko Land, but it turned out to be the biggest deal for them because they managed it well. So anyway, GameStop owns everybody in the world, and the guy's gotten a little bit full of himself, and he says that I give the probability of this working at zero. I'll not deal with the fact that that doesn't make sense grammatically. Electronics Boutique also tried it, and it failed. There's no consumer acceptance. With consumers, there's an immediacy for currency when they want to buy a new game. It didn't work for us, meaning Electronics Boutique, who used to not be us, and I can't see it working for them. All right?
Who's them?
He's talking about
Amazon.
Them is Amazon, but them is also...
Oh, okay.
Electronics Boutique. In the first part, he's referring to, when he says it didn't work for them, when he says it didn't work for us, he's referring to Electronics Boutique when they tried to do mail order used games.
Uh-huh.
Right, which I don't even remember happening, by the way. And that's a key part of my argument.
That's a rough spot there.
The fact that I believe not one of us even knew that Electronics Boutique ever tried to do
I don't
used
ever
games
recall that. And I've been shopping
Funko did before they were Funko Land.
Okay.
You know, they had these magazine advertisements with all these price lists, and
let's not delve into too ancient history though.
Yeah, well,
right?
My
point is we're all fairly experienced, and none of us even knew that Electronics Boutique tried to do that, right? And the point there is that you're not going to be successful if you don't have exposure, kind of like PlaySwitch and other places that try to do these new game trading systems.
Fantastic service, but you need millions of people for it to really work.
Yeah, you need saturation. You need a lot of people to understand and to utilize the service, right? And until it does, it's not going to be good. And it's the same thing with Electronics Boutique, mail order used games. It's never going to thrive. It's not going to do well unless people know about it. So they failed there for a different reason. Amazon, however, is giant. And anytime you go to their video game website or video game portion of their website, it's going to say, hey, you can get these used games. And so they have a lot of clout. They certainly are experts in shipping stuff, which Electronics Boutique never was, right? Amazon has the whole idea of shipping stuff to people and taking shipments from people down.
They're very good at that. They're so good that I enjoy on an almost yearly basis getting things that I never ordered for free.
There you go. So if anyone can do mail order anything properly, it's like Netflix or Amazon.
Right.
Netflix is different than...
My point is it can be done.
Oh, okay. And Netflix has it down.
Yeah. My point is companies have come around and proven that consumers know how to use an envelope.
Mail.
And a post office box. Yeah. That's it. They don't know how to do much more, but they know at least how to do that when you give them enough instruction. And I'm going to guess that EB didn't do this very well. So he says... It's never going to work. EB tried it. It didn't work. And people there's this immediacy for currency. So there's two main sections to this. First of all, he says that it's not going to work just because EB couldn't do it. And the fact is, EB probably had their head in their ass when they tried, and Amazon doesn't.
I do think that also the whole internet climate is different now.
Also true.
And also, you know, mail order climate, you know, in the context of the internet, which is now completely different context than it used to be.
When did EB try this? In like 2000?
Who knows?
96?
None of us knew it ever happened.
Because like I
think it was like the
EB
1930s or 40s.
Yeah, since I was in fifth grade, I've shopped at EB Games. I've never heard of this. Because like they wouldn't do it through their store because it's like I'm at your store, like in physical person. Like you wouldn't mail them something. But like the internet at that point was like really early.
Yeah. So in the internet age, people have become more used to purchasing things over the internet, shipping things. So you're right. I don't think that is the key factor here. So I'm not going to claim it is. But there's two components to this. We just talked about the first one. I'm going to talk about the second one when we get back, which is just a bit of hypocrisy. And you know how much I love pointing out hypocrisy. We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox, video game radio. And what were we talking about?
It's time for me to continue talking about this wonderful article that I've written. And before I do that, though, I'm going to remind everyone about UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, where you could go to become a designer or a producer or whatever it is you want to become in terms of video games.
Hackers.
Just advanced technology.
They're everywhere.
No, they won't let you become a hacker.
Anti-hacker.
They train people to fight hackers.
I also want to point out that when I write an article, apparently I'm much more eloquent than when I discuss it on the radio.
Well, this is interesting because I find myself in the opposite situation usually.
All right.
So either that means I'm a great orator or I'm just a really crappy writer.
I think I suck at talking and writing.
An argument could be made.
Balances everything up.
All right. So I was trying to make two points. First off, he said that there's no chance it's going to work, and he gave two reasons. Because EB tried and failed, which is just arrogant as all anything I shouldn't say right on the air. They tried and failed. Means nothing. They didn't know what they were doing. The environment wasn't right for it, and they are not Amazon. But moving on, he then says, with consumers, there is an immediacy for currency when they want to buy a new game. So let's analyze what that means. That means I want to buy a new game. So I want to go into a store and trade in my game and get that new game right away. I need to have it now.
Right. And also, I don't have money because I ate too many burritos, and so... Oh, but, you know, EB Games or whatever. GameStop, they accept games in lieu of cash.
Let's all take an imaginary trip to your local GameStop.
Okay.
One of your many. All right, everybody. We're walking.
Hey, you want to pre-order Madden?
What was that?
I said, do you want to pre-order Madden?
No, I need a game now!
You want to pre-order Grand Theft Auto?
I need a game now!
You should pre-order the game.
Oh. Is that the only way I'm going to get it?
Yep.
All right. Well, can I trade in my five games for that, even though I'm not going to get a game right now?
If you trade in six games, you can pre-order it for free.
Wait, hold on. Let me look up those prices on the computer.
Is Madden 06. We won't take that. This is NBA 2K7. We won't take that.
Wait. No. We will. They're worth 5 cents each.
Yeah. Well, they don't count towards the...
But you'll take my broken, used third-party controller for the Xbox 360, right?
It's broken now.
Well, I didn't say it was broken. You have to figure out it's broken. You'll take it, right?
You just told me it was broken.
I didn't say it was broken.
Okay, we'll take it.
Okay. And so I have enough. I have enough money for this game that's not coming out right now. So what a wonderful point you make, Rich. Nobody actually buys games when they come out. If you go to EB or to GameStop or to Funko or any of those places, which are now collectively known as GameStop.
Are there actually any? There's no Funko games anymore.
They're all rebranded. They're all GameStop now. My point is you go there and you don't buy your new games now. They push the reserve system like mad on you. And you'll note that previously, DiMatteo, however you pronounce his name, has been in the news or, you know, internet news a lot lately discussing whether or not trading in games is acceptable and if publishers should put the squeeze on retailers to, like, not give them stock if they continue to trade games or whatever. There's just this whole... imaginary judgment being made that used game sales are a bad idea for the industry. And of course,
not only that, but some people even go so far as to frame it as being like wrong. Like it's wrong to do, like as if they shouldn't even be allowed to do it.
Jaffe is like swears at people. Actually, he swears a lot, but he really hates trading.
He swears at everything.
Yeah, he does.
But that's because
he's really against it.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they're all morons, but whatever.
On the same token, Jahi also thinks it'd be beneficial to have one console instead of more than one, and that's just stupid.
All right, so in the past, in the recent past, DiMatteo has talked about how something like 80% of the credit given for these used games goes towards new games. So this used credit is getting people new games, but then you realize that every new game you buy at GameStop, these people who are in there all the time trading in games, they're always going towards reservations of stuff. And of course, I'm exaggerating. It's not always. Sometimes you buy a new game, but quite often it's going towards reservations of the newest, biggest, greatest thing. In fact, people will trade in a game, put the credit towards some unreleased game, come in next week and trade in another game, put it towards the same one they've been reserving,
right?
And it's kind of like a layaway program for a game that doesn't exist yet. And this is how they get their stuff. So his claim that the immediacy will make it impossible, or the desire for an immediate response will make it impossible for Amazon to succeed, it's total BS, because even his company, the immediacy has been degraded completely because of their pushing the reservation system so much. So again, he's full of crap. And what bugs me is that...
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that he's full of crap. I mean, I understand
your point. He's clearly lying, right? He very clearly does not think that there's a 0% chance that they will succeed.
I do agree that the 0% chance is an exaggeration.
So really, it's just insulting that he thinks any one of us would accept the bull that he's slinging. And the day that Amazon announced that,
but
do you know how much they dropped their stock price?
I don't know.
15%.
Okay.
They dropped 15%.
Okay, well, maybe we should ask Jim Cramer about that.
Before our show started today, the CNN guy was talking about how... you know, people are thinking, oh, maybe there's a big rally. Maybe the Dow isn't hurting. Maybe we're coming back out of this recession or depression or whatever it is we're in right now, right? Because the Dow went up like 5%. GameStop went down 15% in a single day just because Amazon announced they were taking in used games. And when he was scared S-less, DiMatteo makes these off-the-wall, obviously false comments saying that there's no chance Amazon will succeed. And the truth is he's really scared that they're going to take away his market share because he's not innovating. And this is all stuff, like I said, that I mentioned in the article.
Well, he is now if he wasn't before, right?
He is paying attention?
No, he's scared now if he wasn't before, thanks to stock activity.
Well, he was scared that day, man.
But
and I'm just saying he's giving a very poor effort at pretending he's not.
Well, maybe the exaggeration was done on purpose in order to kind of like just present such a confident front that maybe that was done in order to cover up his true feelings.
To stop the stockholders from dumping it.
Well, I don't know. But I do think that, I mean, there is a point there. I don't think it has as much weight as he pretends like it has. But, you know, there's something to be said for walking in a store and getting something away, one way or the other.
You're right. Of course, everybody wants something right now. That's always going to be true. But for anyone who shops at Amazon, and I think there's no argument that people shop at Amazon.
Yeah.
For anyone who shops at Amazon, they clearly don't need it right now since everything they're ordering comes a day later.
But buying things on Amazon is one thing that works well because obviously, yeah, you have to wait 3 days or whatever shipping. But like I just don't – in my head can't conceive how they're going to set it up in a way that people go online and say, I want to sell you this game. And they go, okay, we're going to send you a sleeve to put your game in and then mail it to us. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, you know what? I think
that's Amazon buying and selling, because obviously already it's set up in a way that
you just ship
people...
to them.
Yeah, you send them the game. What's the problem?
I know, but like, I don't know. It just seems like it's a system that, I don't know.
The game however it is you want to send it.
I think this can only be good for at least consumers, because looks like Amazon is an actual real competitor. And so that will only drive up used game prices all around.
Yeah, it's not like these little players like we mentioned PlaySwitch and these other folks that we've tried to talk about on the show before who are trying something new. They're so small they can't be successful. Right. But people already buy games on Amazon. People who buy games from Amazon obviously have games, whether they were purchased from Amazon or not. They have no problem sending them to Amazon and getting a gift credit or a gift card so that they can buy more games on Amazon, right? They don't have to buy one right now. They get that credit. And when I'm ready to trade in a game, who cares if I'm getting a game right now or not? I'm still going to trade it in. And I guarantee you, by the way, if you buy a game from Amazon now, they're going to send you some generic sleeve that says, hey, do you want to trade a game or send it back to us? Use this sleeve that comes in this box that is always oversized for the product we sent you in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have either a sleeve or a whole DVD case, probably some expandable cardboard thing that you can plug the whole case in.
I don't know.
And
I
just
do
ship back to them.
I do know that there's a very large perception of trust for Amazon among consumers.
They've built up a lot of goodwill.
I would be comfortable sending them my game that
I totally would. Yeah, I definitely would. And just to spite GameStop because of comments like this.
Right. And they would also, I think in order for them to be successful at what they're doing, they're going to have to offer higher prices for your game.
I have not compared the pricing. From what I've read, they're actually pretty much the same. Which frustrates me. I would have expected them
Why would you do it?
Because then I wouldn't do it.
Why would you do it if you couldn't get
a better
price?
Unless you're going to get more money for it.
Because I think they're going to have to do something to offset, because there is more of a hassle of actually putting the thing in the mail
That you're getting games cheaper from Amazon when you buy them. Often. I mean, not always.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Maybe if they give you more store credit, maybe that's another incentive, because you can buy almost anything. You're not stuck having to buy another stupid game.
That would be what really does it. And I'm not going to claim that I know every aspect of how the system works, but I guarantee that however it's going to work, and I'm sure they already have the rules spelled out. I just haven't taken the time to read all the terms. However they do it, Amazon's going to make it attractive to consumers. They don't just do things half-assed.
They need to simplify
as much as possible.
What did you say, Rich?
I said it just needs to be as simplified as possible.
Yes,
because
it will be.
It
when
can't
you buy a
be
game
the
from
system
them,
that's complex and, oh, you're going to trade this game in, and, like, do you have the case and the instructions and this and that? And
it'll be disc only, I'm sure. And I'm sure they have refurb machines there so they can fix the games up to all look
see,
nice.
See, then I would – if it's disc only, I really would never buy a used game from them.
Well, I'm guessing. I am not Amazon.
What's the point of buying a disc without instructions in a box?
My point is – I think it will be successful to the detriment of GameStop. I don't think it will beat GameStop by any means. By now, I'm sure that they don't sell nearly as many games as GameStop to begin with, but it definitely has the opportunity to be successful, and I would trust them in sending the stuff, sending games of my own. So that's my report
this
on
is
why GameStop is full of crap,
oh.
or why DiMatteo is full of crap, and he's just not... it's so obvious he's not telling the truth, and it's insulting to me that he even thinks that anyone would fall for it. And I don't know whether to be happy or sad that I don't own their stock right now.
I don't know about that, but I'm happy because when we come back, we're going to be talking about how publishers are trying to screw indie developers.
We'll have a guest, even.
And a guest.
Right.
We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We want to talk about indie developers, or indie developers being screwed by publishers.
That's right.
Indie developers.
The big fish frying the smaller fish.
However, I fear that might take the remainder of the show, and we did we got a caller right before we went to break in the second segment. So I think I'd like to take Mike from New York and talk to him about whatever it is he wanted to talk about before we jump into that. How do we feel?
That sounds fantastic.
All right. So Mike from New York, you are on the air with Chatterbox.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, cool. Call in. Yeah, I'm usually a podcast listener, but I happen to be awake at midnight. But yeah,
wow, we're an hour later this week, and you managed to catch the show.
Times. No, we appreciate the participation.
Yeah, it's actually easier when it's later than it's earlier for me because by the time I get home from work. But yeah, anyway, I'll try to keep it quick. I just wanted to chime in that I agree with a lot of points you guys are saying, and I think this Amazon thing is great for the consumer even more, just because GameStop's been kind of afraid, for years because of all the download content and all the things. That's why they have such, crazy competitive deals all the time. And if you're a smart consumer, you can really take advantage and get really cheap deals. And I think one big aspect that a lot of people talk about is the ability to get cash when you're trading games.
At GameStop, you can do that.
Huh?
Definitely GameStop does that, right? Don't they take they shave 20%
off the
top? It's like
20% less, yeah.
Yeah, but the cool thing is now, like with Amazon, you know, when you trade in stuff or when you trade in stuff, you can use that, you know, credit for anything. So it is as good as cash, and I think a lot of people initially kind of overlook that fact. And
why, that is an excellent point you're making, Mike, and it happens to be a very similar point to one I made in the article that I wrote on Golgotron.com.
I did read it, but I didn't actually hear you guys mention it, but I might have missed that part.
No, I didn't mention it on the show today, but you're right. Amazon is much more liquid, that's how I put it, much more liquid than GameStop because they sell everything. Including
best store credit ever.
Including the toilet seat that I've wanted for years.
The
washlet.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Japanese, I presume.
Yes.
The Japanese make good stuff.
Do you want a washlet, Mike? We don't have one to give away. I'm just curious.
Everybody knows that.
No, it shoots water on your butt.
Yeah, I've not seen videos, but seen people on podcasts talk about it.
Not just any water.
You must listen to Cheapy D. He's a big fan, I think.
Yeah, I'm a big CBD listener, but I've been listening to you guys for like 2 years, and I've just never called in. So.
Warm water.
Well, I appreciate that. Before we let you go, anything else you wanted to say?
No, that was it. I mean, I could talk about this forever, but I know you guys only have like 40 minutes, so. But I think you guys should definitely do like a once a month longer podcast.
If I get these two guys to get off their asses.
Dude, I would record a podcast whenever. I just don't take initiative.
I would record a 24-hour live podcast. From my lair.
All right, well, Mike, I command you. You can start an online petition, and if we get enough people whining about it, I bet these guys would go for it.
All right, well, I'll see what I can put together. But keep up the good work. Maybe I'll try calling in more frequently from New York. But
it's good times.
All right, we appreciate it. We love you,
no
Mike.
No problem.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, not that much though. Just a little bit.
He made fabulous points. He's, you know.
Yes.
Anytime he backs me up, I'm just gonna love.
Yes.
And whatever the caller says.
In the non-gay way.
You know, either way really makes me impressed.
Well, that's good times.
So now let's move on to our next topic. You said we wanted to talk about indie games and how publishers are kind of screwing them.
All right. So let me set it up for you guys. There's a little bit of history to this. So recently, a couple of things have come to light that have made this subject kind of a hot topic in the indie gamer world, as it were, indie developer world. So there's a couple things. First one is GamePro. Everybody knows GamePro, right? It's that magazine that's been around forever
That
magazine has been around forever and that has faces for ratings instead of, well, I guess, in addition to their numbers. And
how many people enjoy GamePro?
And pro tips, you know.
Pro tip!
Pro
shoot
tips
him in the face.
Have entered the world thanks to GamePro. Now.
Pro tip, shoot the boss.
All right, before I lose it completely.
Who did Tips and Tricks belong to? Was it GamePro?
No, that was Larry Flint. That was the magazine I worked for.
That's what I'm saying. Tips and Tricks was like an offshoot of some other magazine, though,
Larry Flint. Well, no, it was an offshoot of Video Games Magazine. Yeah. Right.
Yes. There was a magazine just called Video Games?
Well, originally it was Video Games and Computer Entertainment, and then people found out that only old people were buying the magazine because the title was so long, and so they shortened it to Video Games. And then
because the title was so long.
And then they found
Video
out
games,
that
one word or two words.
And then hold on. And then they found out that Video Games was had
too
a tips
short?
And tricks section, and they found out that nobody read the magazine except for the tips and tricks section, and so then Tips and Tricks became a magazine of its own.
And that's when you got to work for the Penthouse conglomerate.
And not Penthouse, Larry Flint.
Hustler.
It's very
me.
Different.
Hustler.
Yes, thank you very much.
Much better magazine.
Yes.
Than Penthouse.
And of
more
course,
pictures.
You know, if it's published by Larry Flint, even if it's not pornographic, it has to sound like it is. So.
Yeah.
Tips and tricks.
And tricks.
Tips and tricks, that's right.
In your face.
Yes.
All right.
So, okay, so anyway, getting back to business.
This is why our listeners love us.
GamePro announced that, now we're a publisher.
How do you make that announcement one day?
You send out a press release.
I can't
you say
help
that.
But realize that the Kotaku article mentioning this was posted at exactly 4:20 p.m., by the way.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Quite an astute observation.
So here's the funny thing, right? GamePro Labs, as it is called, right, is basically soliciting publicly for anybody in the world, especially indie developers, because they want to help us indie developers to basically submit their game ideas.
This seems to be a common theme.
To them, right?
And people want to help indie developers.
Yes, they just want to help you. Everyone just wants to help us out. It has nothing to do with making enormous profits at your expense. So they're basically asking for game ideas or game demos or whatever, and if they like your idea, then you can potentially publish a game under them, right? So
it's kind of weird.
It's kind of weird, but it's more weird. It's more weird than that, okay. Because here are the benefits
you get paid.
You get from being part of the GamePro Labs family. If they publish your game, well, and these are exactly as I'm saying them on the website, right? So you get to publish your game under the GamePro brand. Right? As if this is a plus.
Oh!
Okay. Yes, yes.
It's like the Nintendo seal of quality. I don't know.
No, no. It's like...
But it's worse.
It's... Yes. Okay. So it's like... It's a... I don't know why I would want to be associated with a magazine that originated the term pro tip to mean the most useless piece of advice ever. But there's one, right? But there's more benefits. It doesn't stop there. You get regular promotion in GamePro magazine. Okay, so to me this means, oh, okay, so you'll get mentioned once in their section where they talk about their own games,
yeah.
Which everyone will ignore because it's GamePro magazine talking about GamePro's Labs games.
Yeah, well, nobody right? reads GamePro.
Okay, but there's more, right?
Okay.
You get a publisher account on GamePro.com giving you exclusive developer community access and tools. Okay, so that's totally worth giving up percentage of your profits. You get management of all distribution relationships with whatever company your publishing platform is, right? So, in other words,
say that again.
That doesn't make sense.
They will manage for you all the distribution relationships with Microsoft and Apple and so on, right? So, which means basically you can have no relationship with the publishers because they will do it. And the best of all, you get a monthly check from GamePro for all units sold. Okay, so not like you wouldn't be getting one from the publisher directly, like Microsoft, if you had just done it yourself.
They only pay you whenever they feel like it.
So they handle the accounting
to you every month.
So they basically handle everything for a cut of your profits. And what's this cut? I don't know what the cut is, but it's probably pretty big, and it's going to be skimmed off of the cut that let's say if it's Xbox Live, Microsoft will already take.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. To me, this just sounds like a shill. Like,
what seems really weird about this?
What do you get out of this? Nothing.
Like, the process is like, oh, show us like a prototype or your idea, and then if we think that's good, then we'll support you to help you make the game. At which point, they're not an indie developer anymore, technically, are they?
Because
they'd be publishing through GamePro.
Hang on a second, guys. Let's not completely bastardize this. Like, if I made a game, I would not know how to go about making money with it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, on the iPhone, they make it pretty easy. Like, the whole iPhone developer stuff, that stuff is easy. I know people who have signed up, and it's just not that tough. And I presume it's the same thing on the G Phone. But, getting on to just making an indie game and getting it published in the world and accepting money for it.
Okay, let's say you made a game. Okay, what platform did you make it on?
If it's on PC.
Yeah, okay, it's on PC.
Valve.
Okay.
Done.
Or maybe, let me put it on the web.
Yeah. It's PC, like, it's really easy to, like, get your game out.
But don't you need some overbearing company to put DRM into it so that nobody can play it?
No, you don't. But it's not like a group of, like, five dudes is going to make
five
a huge
dudes.
360 game, like a full title, 12-hour-long, epic Gears of War game. It's just not going to happen from an indie developer. They're not going to make that kind of game. They just can't.
That's fine, but they still have to find a way to make money from it. I imagine XNA has some information if I went searching for it that it wouldn't be too hard.
You literally sign up on XNA, you pay like $100 membership, you make the game, and you submit it, and Microsoft goes, okay, that's a good game. And
here's some money,
Here's money. We're going to put it on Xbox Live, and then people bought it for $10. Here you go. Like, it's really simple. XNA is extremely...
Why aren't we getting in on some of that action?
Well, we'd be
because
better.
I don't know how to make a game.
You got to make the game first, son.
Yeah.
You are a game designer. That's your profession.
Yeah. I'm a mercenary.
Sometimes.
I'm for hire. I'm a mercenary.
I don't understand. Aren't you going to the Indie Games Festival?
Yeah,
at GDC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
You're involved in it because you made part of a game.
Yeah.
What game did you make? Is it public information?
It is, sort of.
Oh, my God. I'm so baffled. We'll be back after the break, everybody.
All All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we're talking about indie developers and the big, bad publishers who want to...
I'm just trying to figure
exploit
out
exploit them.
Trying to figure out why we aren't making games right
for
now.
For cashola.
We do this show. I could be spending this time making games.
You could be. It's because it takes...
I can't even make a website.
It takes a lot of effort. Well, you know, I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, you know, it takes a lot of effort to make a game. It's not just something you wake up and do. I mean, unless you're like, you know...
John Carmack.
Then that's what you do when you wake up in the morning. But other people, not so easy.
All right. Well, if you're interested in becoming John Carmack and making games, go to uat.edu, learn about the University of Advancing Technology, the programs they offer you. Now let's talk more about these developers. We have Tyrone on the phone. We've had him on the show before. Am I correct?
That's true. We have.
I am correct, of course. And we want to bring him on to talk a little bit about his concerns about indie games and these publishing deals and perhaps about 2B games. So, Tyrone, you're on the air.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, dude?
How's it going?
It's going great. In fact, Rich just showed me.
Sorry.
He got a picture from the web. I got to interject here before we start. We were talking, making fun of pro tips in
game
show.
It's the image.
The lowest hanging fruit on earth, but yeah.
There's a pro tip for some iteration of Doom. Who knows? Maybe the Nintendo 64 version, maybe PC. Pro tip, to defeat the cyber demon, shoot at it until it dies. So, GamePro, high class. High class. All right. So, Tyrone, I understand you have concerns about this move to help, quote, indie developers.
I do. I think that any company that says that they're out to help someone obviously should be a little bit more honest. If they say, hey, listen, we want to make money too, a lot of indie developers will have a lot more respect for what they're trying to do. But to come off and say that, hey, listen, we'll publish your game for you on Sony, on PlayStation Store, on Xbox Live Arcade, WiiWare. Well, technically, all three of those companies, being Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, have made it very easy for a savvy indie developer to approach them and say, hey, listen, I have a game, and I think it should be on your respective console.
And so you're saying that these other companies swoop in and just say, hey, we'll make something that's easy, easier? And well, really what they're doing is just getting in between people who could have done it on their own.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, it's you're creating a middleman that doesn't necessarily need to be there. And in some cases, you both made a very good point that, okay, what if you do make this really cool PC game and you don't know of something called Steam? Well, if you don't know about Steam...
You shouldn't be making games if you don't know what Steam is.
Yeah, so there is that. And there are some developers who might not necessarily want to deal with the marketing and promotions, that as of right now, at least on GamePro's website, they don't have any quantifiable information as to what that means. Does that mean that they put a little image, a little screenshot on their website? Or does it mean that obviously no other magazine is going to cover your game because it's tied to the GamePro brand?
Well, to play devil's advocate, I mean, they only just announced this. Obviously, once this gets a little bit more off the ground, there will be more explanation. You won't need the explanation because you'll know whether it's a good amount of publication or not. The fact that there's a question right now shouldn't make it a bad thing.
One thing that doesn't make sense, though, for me, like, okay, if your goal as an indie developer is you want to make an Xbox Live arcade game, like, you have to get the tools from Microsoft to begin with, and you have to meet their certifications, and then they have to prove the game. And then when they release the game on Xbox Live, it's like, hey, there's a new Xbox Live arcade game. You should pay us $10 to download it. Like, it's all built into the system of Xbox Live Arcade. Like, the promotion of the game, they give you the tools. You have to work with them anyways.
I got to say, having your game mentioned in GamePro Magazine is not a bad thing.
It's not.
Any
it's
publicity
not a good thing.
Is pretty much good publicity, getting your name out there. And whether or not, you know, people like us pay attention to some shilled list in GamePro doesn't mean that the rest of the world,
but
all the 13-year-olds who buy that magazine, will not pay attention to it. They may very
well.
But
if you make a good game, it's not like GamePro will be like, oh, well, they didn't go through us, so we're not going to talk about them ever. It's like if you make a good game on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network, it's going to be talked about in all of the magazines and online sites anyways.
Now, GamePro is only one example.
Yeah.
Tyrone, are there other examples of organizations or people trying to do the same thing to pretend that they're going to help the indie developer?
I recently saw something on indiegames.com that there's a contest going around right now that the grand prize is actually $10,000 for the game that gets selected. It's similar to ICE in the sense that you get money for submitting a game, and the grand prize is money. But there's pages and pages of legalese that this company has put up that seems that they could technically make derivative works on a game that doesn't even win, that just gets submitted.
Yeah, this is the 2B games contest, by the way.
Right, this is the number 2
yes.
BEE games, 2B games. You can go there and learn about it. And we were looking at it before the show and seeing right. that there were certainly a lot of comments in their blog-style website.
And naturally, you were skeptical of my skepticism.
Well, you know, I try to just play it fair because I put myself in their shoes. Like, let's say I come up with all these terms, and anything that involves me giving away $10,000 to someone is going to have a lot of legalese and terms and conditions, right? And so it's fair to say, yeah, if you're going to submit this game, we're going to want people to be able to download it from the website so that they can see it or use images of it or talk about it. Like, you need to have those terms in place so that you're allowed to do that. Otherwise, the person who submitted the game could just sue you and say, hey, you put a picture of my game, and I didn't give you permission for that. So they're protecting themselves by doing that. And then there's complaints that, oh, well, you know, your terms give you too much control over it, which that's fair. That's a fair complaint, right? If they weren't clear enough and they're saying they're going to take ownership of the code on their own, that's not cool. But, you know, if people are tricked into doing it, that's another story. So then they go in the blog, in the comments rather, and talk about how they're changing them. And then people are complaining that they're not changing them fast enough or something. And you can't just bring in a lawyer and change their terms and conditions because someone put a comment post up. Like, that's a big deal. You got to pay a lawyer to read it all and come up with new legalese and to sign off. 50 different people in their legal firm have to sign off on it and get it reposted to the internet, right? So people who are writing these comments are a little bit, you know, trigger happy.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of over-exuberance on both sides. I guess the thing that kind of, like, rubs me the wrong way is that the company who's putting this on is really trying to play down as much as they can the potential profit that they get out of the bargain.
If they're just out there saying, hey, right. we just want to do this great thing for the community, then yeah, I agree with you, Hyrone. They're just, you know, blowing hot air because clearly there's a venture for them. If they went and hired a lawyer to do something, they had to pay him money, which means they expect to make money to pay for that lawyer and more. So there's something to be made there. And for the indie developer, they could just make that money on their own. However, 10 G's is a lot of money. And if they get a good publishing deal out of it, then
it is, but
maybe it works.
On the other hand, I think that, I don't know, I have the impression that, you know, these two incidents aren't the first time this has happened. This has actually happened in the past before. And
well, it happens a lot, man. People make contests for writing books. They make contests for taking you to the moon.
No. I don't mean, like, just contests, right? But I mean, like, specifically, like, contests where basically, you know, the winner had to give up rights about their product.
You ever hear of American Idol?
Yeah. So basically...
Worked out for those guys.
Right. But I think that they're kind of banking on the idea, and, you know, you guys can comment on this, on the idea that, oh, well, you know, we'll just throw 5 digits... at the indie developer, and they'll be like, wow, that's a lot of money. Yeah, let's do this. And they'll forget to actually do the due diligence and figure out that, oh, well, if they actually didn't go through this middleman, that they could make, you know, 5-10 times more money.
Yeah, but, so. You know, there's advantages to both, I think, because you get a lot of exposure by being part of a contest that has a lot of exposure, right? So I could just get my game out there. I could make it and I could put it on a website and people might not see it. But by entering it into this contest, you get automatic exposure to all the people who are looking at the games in this contest. So there's brandability out of it. It's just like when people sign their first recording contract with some sleazy company that doesn't tell them about all the fees they're going to be charged after they go on tour, right? And then all the money they made goes right out the door, right? They didn't read the terms. They didn't pay enough attention. But in the long run, they then get another deal because they had an album that did really well. So whether or not they made money on it, they have recognition now. And so it's really hard to quantify these things, especially before the product is made. I mean, this is all business marketing, you know, brandability discussion. It's not necessarily video games, but...
Right. It's video games.
I mean, I certainly see the right of someone to complain about it if they're being abused in these terms and every entrant is going to lose their copyright to this other company that could just take their games or, as Tyrone said, make derivative works of those games, then that's a little bit sleazy, right? And you're putting yourself in that position by not paying close enough attention to what you're doing. But at the same time, for the people who win, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a lose-lose deal for anyone who enters. Like,
can I?
No, it'll be a win a lot more and win a little bit deal.
I'm just going to point out 2bgames.com has a private registration on the domain name.
Yeah.
So that basically just means it's not registered to the company itself.
It's registered to some dude.
Some dude. And it'd make a lot more sense to put their company information up there and like an address, but apparently they don't have a physical address.
So this is like a couple dudes in a basement coming
up
at a contest.
Look up a Zoo Games Corporation.
Zoo Games Corporation?
Yeah, because Zoo Games is doing it.
Yeah.
Is that the domain?
Is Tyrone still on with us? Yeah, they have the website. Any more comments, Tyrone?
No, I mean, you're mentioning, you make some really good points, but to me, the way I think of this 2B's competition where you're getting $10,000, they obviously have something to gain, and that's absolutely okay. But you look at, for instance, Independent Games Festival for this year, typically the grand prize is $20,000. And this year, Mountain Dew, through its Green Label Gaming, added another $10,000 to the pot, so it's a total of $30,000. Obviously, it's a market opportunity. That's price he has. A big company is actually...
All right,
he's breaking
Tyrone,
up on us. I think he flew into a cloud.
Tyrone, we couldn't hear you anymore anyway, so we're sorry about that. But he was just saying that the Indie Games Festival pays you way more than 10 G's right now.
So
it's 30 grand, and that really has a lot of exposure.
Yep.
You are even involved in it.
And he is actually too.
Yeah. So. He's bringing you down to Game Developers Conference
this
in just
true.
A couple weeks, right?
Yep.
So you and I will both be there.
Yep. And it'll be a big party.
So I guess that week we won't have a show. Last week of March.
Suppose not.
Unless Rich wants to handle it on
Rich, yeah, Rich. I think Rich can handle that one.
The Rich and Rich Show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. And we will be back next week. However, the last week of March. I don't know if that's 2 or 3 weeks away. Apparently, we won't have a program.
Guess not.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.